Check, 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 check. All right, I am good to go when you are.
Okay. Check, 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 check. All right, I'm good.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Covington, Blaine Levy, topside three ball. Bam! Onions, baby onions. Zach LaVine in the ball.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Bean to White. This time he gives it to Williams for three. The rookie! The Puma! Oh my goodness, what a shot!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill. Are you flat out kidding me?
Matt Peck used to do a great job with the Bulls Outsider Show. Now he's doing Locked On Bulls.
There he is, Jimmy Forburn.
Oh, don't mess with the pooch.
But what's this crossover? Casper to Free League Ghost.
Oh my goodness.
So kick back.
I'm not.
Relax.
I'm not.
And get ready for the best hour of your day.
I'm not.
You can just see the vibe.
And these guys are men.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
I love it. Pass to LaVine with a right-handed jackhammer slam. Oh my goodness, that was filthy.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Now I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Happy, hopefully you had a good weekend, Matt. Although we are doing this episode a little bit early, we're doing it midway Sunday. Had to come back and react to this Hawks game right before the Timberwolves game. So anybody listening to this, you'll get our reaction to the Timberwolves Bulls game either on Tuesday or maybe a late Monday episode, but had plenty to talk about with this Hawks game. First and foremost, before we get into that, Matt, how are you? How's your weekend going?
Jordan, what's up, buddy? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, still trying to get over that that loss Friday night. It was a rough one. And hey, shout out to our guy Mark Kay at Bulls HQ Pod. I hopped on him with him Saturday to record one of his pods. So go out and check the most latest pod in his feed, Bulls HQ. We commiserated about how upset we both were with that loss on Friday. It was just tough to see the Bulls waste such an amazing performance from Zach LaVine, and I'm sure we'll dive all the way into it. Some Bulls fans were blaming Zach after that loss, saying he didn't do a good enough job passing out of the double teams of the fourth quarter, this, that, and the other thing.
He dropped 50.
My gripes and my griefs definitely lie in a lot of places on that loss, but not with Zach LaVine.
I didn't see any of those. I wish I would have. Are you kidding me? The dude dropped 50. Vooch dropped, between him and Vooch, they dropped 75.
Right.
Yeah. If you want to be angry about something, be angry about the fact that the Bulls couldn't fucking stop anybody at the rim. You let a team shoot 70% at the rim, 40 for 57, you're not going to beat anybody. I don't care if you're playing a G League team. That is the thing I'm most frustrated with. Zach having 50 and the Bulls still losing in the fashion that they did, because they led most of this game, Matt. They led most of this game. And I think first we got a great glimpse into what this team looks like when not only does Patrick Williams get into foul trouble early on in the game, also not being able to use Thaddeus Young to his full minutes load. I'm sure Donovan kind of said, you know what, we've been kind of pressing him lately. He's been starting, taking majority of the minutes in wins that we've needed this week. We got to give him a day off, and we've talked about that all season, and Donovan addressed it early on in the season, but got a good glimpse into what this defense looks like when you can't use Thaddeus Young to his full minutes load and Patrick Williams is in foul trouble early.
Yeah, Thad had a tough night on both ends. You know, he's been so efficient, working in and around the paint on offense this season, and he just had a bad night with some bad hands. Like he had butterfingers or something, and then, you know, missing some bunnies that he usually makes. And also, you know, like you said, just not being able to play his regular number of minutes. And I think this team also is missing Garrett Temple's defense. You know, his absence has just kind of gone under the radar because of the excitement of the trades and bringing in Vooch and these other new pieces. And hopefully he comes back soon. The last I heard as far as later tonight's game against Minnesota, he's still doubtful. This Bulls team has been dealing with a bad perimeter defense all season long. And, you know, you saw Vooch getting in trap scenarios where he's getting switched onto Trae Young. Trae was just murdering the Bulls in the pick and roll all night. Lowry more playing the three and getting completely exposed on the defensive end, playing out position at that position. Like you said, the Bulls just could not stop anything in the fourth quarter. And, you know, they had a couple of possessions down the stretch when they were letting that game slip away where they got a good look and they missed it, or it was a bad offensive possession, but they could not get any stops, and that's what caused them to lose that game.
If you want to blame anybody's offense, how about the fact that Lauri Markkanen went 1-for-4, Thomas Satoransky went 0-for-6, Kobe White went 4-for-11 and was atrocious in that third quarter? You want to blame the offense, blame it there. I understand people's frustration with Zach not passing out of those double and triple teams, and a lot of it started happening at the end of the third quarter and leaked over into the fourth. Atlanta went on two runs in that second half. They went on a 17-4 run and a 17-2 run in the fourth quarter. That's ultimately what gave Atlanta their lead, and they were able to hold it. I'm irritated too, man, because I'm sick and tired of watching the Trae Young foul thing. That's happened twice to us now. He's burned us and dropped a million points. It's just it's a really frustrating loss, and I have some questions too about the rotations that were used. Again, have to go back and think that we couldn't use Thaddeus Young. You had just mentioned had a tough night. Top of that, probably giving him a day off. I do agree with you too. I think Garrett Temple is being missed here too on the defensive end. His three-point shot, although he had spurts where it wasn't falling, that's kind of been missing as well. The Bulls did a good job from the three-point line. Again, it goes back to just not being able to stop anybody from two. The Bulls held the Atlanta Hawks 7-for-27 at 25% from three last night, or two nights ago. When you do that, you should be able to win games, especially when your star drops 50. Your star drops 50 and you hold another team shooting 3-25%, there's no reason why you shouldn't win that game. It was a combination of a handful of things. I'm asking myself, I don't know how this Bulls team lost this game.
I mean, like you said, Zach and Vooch gave them 75 and nobody else could put the ball in the freaking basket. It was just baffling to watch between nobody else being able to produce points and the Bulls defense not being able to stop anything that Atlanta was doing. It was just like you were just watching it slip away and you knew exactly what was happening and you couldn't do anything to stop it. And also wondering what exactly the decisions that Donovan was making. And, you know, I was talking about this with Mark Kay yesterday. I think it's important to keep in perspective as Bulls fans maybe start to question some of the things about Donovan's rotation that, first and foremost, let's be clear, this dude is millions of miles better for this organization than he who must not be named. So let's just get that right out of the way, because you even see some Bulls fans saying, hey, maybe you know who wasn't all that bad. Maybe Billy Donovan's not all he's cracked up to be. You can take issue with some of Billy Donovan's rotation stuff. And I did take issue with some of the stuff he was doing on Friday night, but he's got a lot on his plate. He's juggling a new team that he inherited, names of the players that he inherited, and now also assimilating guys that arrived, you know, on trade deadline day from a variety of different teams that had a variety of different roles at their old squads and folding them into his rotation. And it seems like he started to kind of finalize a rotation, at least as far as what's available right now, with Lowry, Kobe, and Tice coming off the bench, and then some spot minutes for Troy Brown Jr. But I did not understand why Lowry was in that game late last night on Friday night. I don't understand why Kobe was in that game late Friday night. And when you're getting crushed on the defensive end and you only play Tice, 12 minutes? You only play Troy Brown Jr. 15 minutes? I was excited to watch Troy Brown Jr. try and contain Trae Young last night, on Friday night, but couldn't do it because even though Donovan said, hey, Troy Brown, I need you to go out there and play defense for us. That's how you're going to get minutes. The Bulls defense couldn't stop a nosebleed, and Troy Brown Jr. sitting on the bench. Daniel Tice is sitting on the bench. I didn't get it.
Literally, I hope nobody is saying that Bozo Boylan is better than Donovan. Like, if that conversation is happening, you should stop watching basketball, because that's just flat out ridiculous. That being said, I think there's
I saw Cowley trolling his nephew on Twitter. Did you see that?
No. Donovan, I think it's okay to give. I think it's okay to ask the question of why was this rotation used in the second half? I think it's okay to ask that. I think it goes back to the fact that Billy Donovan didn't really have any other answers. When Patrick Williams has four fouls halfway through the third quarter, Thaddeus Young had played probably one of his worst games as a Bull this year. You don't have any other choice. And the mere fact that Satoransky, Kobe White, or Lauri Markkanen couldn't hit a damn shot, you didn't have a choice. And like you said, the question immediately goes, why didn't you use Troy Brown Jr. or Daniel Tice more? Neither of those guys could get buckets either. So as much as you needed to stop somebody on the defensive end, the Bulls were having a problem of having to play catch-up and keep up with the fact that the Hawks were outscoring them like madmen. I do say that there are also, that combines with the fact that people talking about Zach LaVine not being able to pass out of the double or triple teams. There were multiple times where, like, Vooch was calling for the ball wide open in the corner for three. He ended up missing a three in the third quarter on that, where they got him a pass too late. It was like Zach kicked it out to Williams, Williams drive to the basket, and then Williams kicked it out to Vooch, but by that time it was too late. Again, goes back to this team not having a point guard, a dude to run this offense consistently. I don't know. I'm not putting any blame on Zach LaVine. As much as maybe he made a couple of mistakes in that second half, the dude dropped fucking 50.
I mean, what more do you want? It's like Zach said in our intro, our old intro. By the way, that new intro sounded pretty dope, Jordan. I think right now I'm upset that you know who is still in our intro. I think I want to never hear that dude's voice again.
He will always be there.
But like Zach said in our old intro, what more y'all want me to prove, man? And then like I saw some Bulls fans ragging on Zach for that, you know, final possession within the final minute after the game had been decided. And he just took the inbounds pass off of yet another Hawks bucket and just sprinted coast to coast and dunked it to get to 50. And I saw people being like, oh, man, like that's selfish. He just wanted that 50 piece.
He
wasn't playing
people.
Team basketball as the Bulls were coughing up that game. That lead. And I'm like, God, people, what? We are focusing on the wrong things here, man. So let's focus on the right things as we continue to break down this game. And then also, Jordan, we wanted to talk about what a different NBA coach said about Lowry earlier in the week. We'll get to that as well. First, though, wanted to tell all of you guys about Indeed. You're the hiring expert for your company. What you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits you immediately, and Indeed skills tests that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests or add your own. Then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet those requirements. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Once again, a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. Been telling you guys about Built Bar for a very long time. They've been fantastic to us here at Locked On Bulls and the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you go check out Built Bar, builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. If you use the promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at builtbar.com. Their bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. One of my favorites is the peanut butter bar. It's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. Every single one of their bars is covered in 100% chocolate. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at BuiltBar.com. As I look at this fourth quarter, Matt, the biggest eyesore is seeing Danilo Gallinari go 5 for 9, drop 3 threes, which were clutch, and have 15 points in that quarter. On top of that, Clint Capella added 8 points on 4 for 4 shooting. He was able to get buckets around the basket, and I'm willing to bet I know who was guarding for the majority of that fourth quarter, Danilo Gallinari. It was probably Lowry. That being said, it goes back to what I said a couple of minutes ago. I don't think Billy Donovan had a choice. Think about the circumstances around in that game. Can you afford Patrick Williams to pick up a fifth foul 2 minutes into the fourth quarter? Then you really can't play him. Then you have to pull him for 4 or 5 minutes. I found it, and maybe it would have to go back and watch a couple of other games to see these rotations, but when Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White are on the floor at the same time, and Zach and Patrick Williams are off the floor, it's atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious. Zach almost needs to be on the floor for the majority of the time with Kobe and Zach, or Kobe and Lowry, to have any type of offensive success. And we saw that. When Zach went off the floor, he had to almost immediately come back into the game because nobody could get a damn bucket. It's frustrating. It's frustrating, but we got to remember that there's still a lot of holes on this Bulls team, as well as they have been playing of recently. Again, it's just a tough loss to swallow against this Hawks team that is very, very frustrating. And I think they're low-key becoming one of our rivals.
Yeah. You know, there's maybe a little rivalry grown between Trey and Kobe. Kobe, as you mentioned, had another bad foul on Trey. Kobe's fouling of active shooters this season has just been really, really frustrating. He's got to get better at that, along with his playmaking and decision making, which is why, you know, even though Sada was 0 of 6 from the floor Friday night, I would have much rather had him in there to close that game than Kobe. Because, you know, even though he's 0 of 6, we've also seen Kobe have that bad of a shooting night. And Sada is shooting 50, 40, 90 on the season. So I still have confidence in him to take an open shot and make it. If he's open,
really?
You know, bad shooting night or not. And also you get better ball movement, better decision making, and better playmaking from Sato. And you get better defense from Sato. Kobe was getting cooked on defense. And Sato ain't anything special on the defensive end, but he's sure as shit better than Kobe. So, but I think, like, grand scheme, as we've been talking through this, we're just highlighting two things that were very, like, glaringly obvious that we already knew about this roster's deficiencies, even after we got Vooch and these other pieces in the trades. And that is, this team still desperately needs a point guard, a good point guard, who could have helped their offense stay on track in the third and fourth quarters when Zach started getting double and triple teamed. And they're still not a very talented defensive team across the board. And when you're not getting contribution from Garrett Temple because he's on the shelf with an injury, when it's a rough night for Thad, when P-Dub is in foul trouble, and you're not playing Tice and Troy Brown Jr. for their defensive abilities because you're maybe worried about how you're getting buckets on the other end, those are the two glaring problems that still have to be addressed with this roster. And AK and Eversley know that add more beef and more talent to the defensive end, and they know they need a point guard. Friday night's game was just the latest reminder of those two very glaring issues.
Not only that, they need somebody who can protect the rim. I mean, we talked about that, and hopefully Daniel Tice can still be that guy. It stretches, but you need somebody else too. Without Patrick Williams or Thaddeus Young being on the floor at the same time, the defense is very, 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 very bad. I didn't realize Thomas Satoransky was shooting 50, 40, 90. Shout out to him. That's awesome. Yeah, he's shooting 51.3% from the field, 40.5% from three. That's pretty good, man. Good for him. He's having a good year this year. Underrated year.
And it's not on huge volume, but it's, you know, it's, though, you can't argue those numbers. I you know, so many, and like I got into it with Big Dave on our, you know, our post game Friday night about like Kobe versus Sato and who should have been on the floor late. And he's like, Kobe's the only other person outside of Zach and LaVine or Zach and Vooch who would score Friday night. I was like, what? Yeah, yeah. What, 11 points off the bench on 4 of 11 shooting, 1 of 5 from downtown? Like, no, it's not like Kobe is a more, you know, varietal offensive threat than Sato when he's got the ball. But, you know, Kobe ain't shooting 50, 40, 90. Kobe ain't racking up 10 assists and a half. I again, very confused by why Donovan stuck with Kobe down the stretch of that game.
I actually do kind of agree with what Big Dave was saying, though. Think about it, too, in context of the game. Satoransky went 0-for-6 from shooting in this game. Kobe White at least was giving you a little bit of something. Lauri Markkanen wasn't giving you jack shit off the bench. So that being the case, Zach and Vooch basically having to do everything else, you needed somebody else on the floor that, even though maybe they weren't doing it in this game, at least you know over a large sample size that more than likely they're going to be able to give you a shot more so than Sato. And with Kobe, I agree with that. At the same time, it's like you can't afford to have Kobe on the floor and not have Patrick Williams and or Thaddeus Young on the floor with him at the same time. It doesn't work. Kobe, what killed me in this second half with him was there was multiple times where he'd come down with the ball, try to go one-on-one with a guy to get his own shot, and it was just a bad shot. There was a couple times where he had an open three where he had a nice step-back open three on a crossover. He just flat-out missed it. That's okay. That's going to happen. But again, we're going to get to a conversation, Matt, next season where we're going to say to ourselves, like, if this continues to happen and we're relying on Kobe as the third or the fourth option scoring, he's got to knock down shots. It addresses a lot of the holes, and we saw that even a Hawks team like this missing a couple of key guys, exposing what the Bulls are bad at. And on nights when you have to give Vooch and Zach some type of rest, when they're off the floor and nobody else is scoring, it's leaving huge holes in this Bulls team. And again, Zach and Vooch can't play 48 minutes every single night. They can't even play, like, it's not sustainable to play those guys 40 or 38 minutes a night, but Donovan is almost being forced to have to do that in order to stay in some of these games. And I thought it was a classic case again last night where you take both of those guys out or one of those guys, the offense goes stagnant, and then Zach or Vooch have to come right back into the game.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan doesn't have a lot of great options to choose from, which again just speaks to the fact that AK and Eversley have more work to do this coming up offseason to shape this roster a little bit. And they know that. AK said at the end of trade deadline day when he met the media and explained the moves that they made, I'm not finished. More moves are on the way. We know that they tried to get Lonzo on deadline day. We know that there were talks with New Orleans that involved Lowry. And my guess is that the Pels just had a too high of an asking price. So that they're going to explore Lonzo and other options to get this team a point guard who can help them close games next season. Because that has been a glaring problem when you and I talk all season, and it was true last season too when this team didn't have a point guard, and it's also still true this season with a new coach and some new pieces. Teams that don't have a reliable point guard, a floor general who can keep executing the team's offense and adapt to the different looks that your opponent's defense is showing you, find out ways to get buckets. The Bulls do not have a player like that right now. They have a lot of pieces who can, at times, be quality playmakers and passers. And we've seen the Bulls rack up these games where they have 25, 28, 30, 30-plus assists as a team because they're moving the ball well. And you got Vooch with 5 or 6 assists. And you got Thad with 5 or 6 assists. And Sato with 5 or 6. And Zach has 4 or 5. It's great, but none of them are a point guard. None of them are a point guard. And especially, you know, hopefully when this team is making its way towards playoff series, best of 7 series where you're playing the same opponent every other night, the game slows down in these playoff games, in these playoff series, you need a point guard. And we don't have one.
When you're not getting consistent stops, too, like the Bulls weren't around the rim, it stagnates your offense, too, even with Zach or Vooch on the floor. The Bulls are, like you're saying, with the point guard, teams who are good at running half-court offense generally have a point guard that can run their offense. The Bulls don't, and they don't work in that fashion. And the Bulls are best when they're getting out, forcing turnovers, being able to get out and run, making teams feel uncomfortable. That doesn't happen when you're allowing teams to shoot 70% from two. Like, that's just flat-out not happening. So, again, another really frustrating loss to this Hawks team. Some things that this team can build on. But, again, I don't think we should downplay the fact that Zach had 50, because that was flat out ridiculous. The Bulls aren't even in that game if Zach doesn't have 50. I want to tell you guys quickly about Bet Online before we get to one of the coach's comments earlier in the week that we missed that we should talk about, because it involves Lauri Markkanen and his impending restricted free agency. Bet Online is your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Speaking of this Bulls-Hawks game, Matt, I saw a parlay that hit come across my Twitter timeline this weekend on this very game. It was Zach LaVine to score 40 points, Trae Young to score 40 points, and Zach LaVine to have five threes. This person bet $40 to win $47,735, and it hit. Think about that.
Woo.
Dude bet $40
that
and he came out
hit.
47K richer. So you could do that at BetOnline. BetOnline covers you for awards, TV shows, and even reality TV, along with the NBA, the NHL, and the MLB just starting up. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. When you go and sign up for an account, make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get that 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, like we said, sometime either maybe late Monday or early Tuesday, we'll have reaction to the Bulls and Timberwolves game that is set to tip today, later today on Sunday. A little bit of positivity coming out of this, and I think something interesting. I want you to hear from Nick Nurse, Toronto Raptors head coach, after the Toronto game the other night, because he had some interesting things to say about Lauri Markkanen and just how Donovan was using his rotations in that game. So take a listen.
The Bulls used a pretty big lineup with Markkanen, Tice, and Vucevic on the floor. That seems like the jumbo lineup that you guys talked about last year. What do you think of that lineup? Is that something you might see from the
league? They've been doing it, so it didn't surprise me. We actually, they've been playing that right there. And I just think, those are three really good players, and you got to find some minutes for them, right? They're three really good players, and you got to – I mean, Markkanen was unbelievable tonight, and he played 18 minutes. I mean, it was unbelievable. Every time he touched the ball, something good happened. And every time we made a mistake, he made us pay, and he's only out there for 18 minutes. That's part of the reason they got to play him there, I think, is all three of those guys are worthy of big minutes.
I guess you mean something good for them and not you guys.
Yeah, something good for them. Good for them, yeah.
So I tweeted that out, and I said, let's just file that clip under teams potentially interested in Lauri Markkanen this summer and maybe circle back to it once June or July hits. But that's some high praise for Lauri Markkanen. Like, again, we said, he only played 18 minutes, and he was coming off the bench. I think against Toronto, what did he have, 14 points in that game?
Yeah, something like that, 14, 15.
But what do you think? What'd you think about that, just hearing that? I said that could be one of a handful of teams very interested in Lauri Markkanen's services. And also, too, the Toronto team, the way that their team is structured fits the way that Lauri Markkanen plays their style. They have similar molded players like Chris Boucher, Pascal Siakam, those dudes. So I could see why he would be a potential landing spot in Toronto. So maybe just putting in, laying the foundation for good words for Lauri Markkanen coming out of Toronto. But I was actually surprised and shocked to hear that.
Well, I mean, I think Nurse was correct in his assessment of Donovan showing a lot more usage of that, super big lineup that he's been using it at times. And Nurse is correct in that Lauri had a really good game against them last week. In limited minutes off the bench, he was very – that was the game where he went 8 of 10, right? And he hit 2 of 4 three-pointers. And he was showing you everything else about his abilities to score in the interior. He was posting up. He was actually taking advantage of mismatches. He was hitting, running, sky hooks across the lane and like all this shit. We're like, oh, wow. Yeah, remember when we have seen those little bits and pieces of Lauri? I mean, maybe that's just something that he can do against reserves for 20 minutes a night. And it's not something he can do as a starter for 30 plus minutes a night. Maybe that's what Lowry is. Maybe he is a slight variation of Danilo Gallinari, who's not a player who's worth over $20 million a season on his next contract after his rookie contract. As far as whether Toronto or which other teams in the league might be interested in his services, I do think that Lowry will generate interest from multiple teams and will end up signing an offer sheet with somebody that is not the Bulls. And I think he will probably leave. What he ends up doing and the size of his role on his potential new team will probably largely depend on the other pieces that are there. But I'm sorry, right now it doesn't look like Lowry can be your team's definitely not first option, not even second option, and right now with this Bulls unit, not even a third option, because he's not even starting.
There's no slight to Bobby Portis, but he's more Bobby Portis than he is Kristaps Porzingis, or who else was he getting compared to? Dirk Nowitzki? He's definitely not Dirk Nowitzki. He's more Bobby Portis, and that's not like really a knock either, because Bobby Portis is still a decent player in this league, and Bobby's a better defender, I think, than Lowry is, but sort of that microwave scorer off the bench where he can get a shot basically from anywhere. I still think Lowry has a way higher ceiling than Bobby does, but in a similar role that Bobby played here, that's sort of how he feel marketing is right now. And I've been saying it for a while. I don't think that a comp, and if Lowry lives up to being a guy like Danilo Gallinari and having to play sort of in a bigger lineup at the three or the four, which Donovan was doing, which we didn't even get to really talk about, that might be his key to success, or just finding a different spot where guys can get him the ball consistently. This isn't a great team for Lowry Markkanen to develop on, because the one thing that he needs is a guy to be able to assist on most of his shots. And right. I've said that 80%. Lowry has been shooting 80% on assisted. All of his shots, 80% have gone down and they've been assisted. It's not great formula for a team that doesn't have a point guard. So I think you're right, man. Again, I think all options are on the table, and I wouldn't mind Lowry coming back because I still think that he has a decently high ceiling. But if the Bulls are trying to win right now, he can't be considered, like you were saying, even a third or a fourth option scoring and be relied on night in and night out, even putting up 18 against a depleted Toronto team. And that's another thing, too. Context there matters. Toronto only had 8 active guys in that game, and Chris Boucher put up 38-19, too. So
Yeah, he did. He had a monster game. And Lowry's just not very versatile. Like, it's hard to use him in different ways, which is why I think, despite
when you don't have a point guard.
Right, exactly. And you can't really play, you can't get away with him at the five defensively unless you have a really, really strong four who can protect the rim and, you know, and do some switching. And you also can't really play him at the three. We're learning that pretty quickly also, because he doesn't have the lateral quickness to keep up with, like, even remotely competent offensive wings who can shoot and put the ball on the floor. He's like pigeonholed into being able to play one position basically. And even then, like you said, I agree that you know, his defense isn't even better than Bobby Portis's. And again, not in a knock on Bobby, but that ain't saying much, because I think Lowry's probably, along with Kobe, one of the worst defenders, if not the two worst defenders on this roster. Like, talking about real players, obviously. Like, I'm not talking about, like, Felicio. And unlike Vooch, who we have seen blossom playing with Zach, Lowry's not a good screen setter on the offensive end either. It's like there isn't a long enough list of things that he does well and places on the court where he can do those things well.
Just not consistently. I agree with what you just said. Yeah. And like, sure, we're going to have people coming at us and saying like, oh, well, Vooch's defense isn't great. It's probably average at best. And you're comparing Lowry's to, well, yeah, but Vooch does cool, but five other things.
25 and 10.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. 25 and 10.
Right. So, well, believe me, those opinions will be coming out from the same camp that
if,
was...
If Lowry gave us 25 and 10 a night, we would not pick on him as much for his defense.
Correct. Correct. I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to bring this up at the end of the episode, but maybe there is a conversation to be had about, like, him being used in a point guard situation with Chris Dunn last year and him thriving more in that role than with a quasi point guard like Thomas Satoransky or Kobe White. Like, again, there has been sample sizes where it's shown us that Lowry can thrive when he's getting the ball in good situations and he's got a playmaking guard next to him. When he's got
it's
somebody
not
that's,
like Chris Dunn was some great playmaking guard.
And he wasn't. But get a peek into what Lowry could do with a guy that wasn't that great at playmaking. Imagine what he could do with somebody that can play make.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see your point. And I agree. I mean, and who knows? Maybe Lowry will go somewhere where he, and honestly, the team that I think is really intriguing, whether or not they keep Kristaps or find a trade for him, is Dallas. Because can you imagine Lowry playing with Luka?
No, because I don't want that to happen. That would.
I do. Sabine is geeking out about it. He's like,
that's
as
nightmare.
Much as he's frustrated watching Lowry in a Bulls jersey, he's like, dude, he said Mavs fans really, really want Lowry because they can envision him playing with Luka, who has just, you know, magic playmaking ability. And when you have a guy who is that caliber of a passer, a guy like Lowry, who is dependent on getting good looks for him, like you mentioned, well, hey, if you have a good player like that who can get you those good looks, then great, it'll work. He has never had that in Chicago.
The good news is, if the Bulls want to play hardball, they can sign Lowry to or match the offer sheet and go to the team that really desperately wants him and say, hey, you want to make a sign-in trade? Let's figure something out here. So I think the Bulls are in a good position whether or not they decide or they have multiple teams bidding against them for Lowry's services. The ball is still in the Bulls' court to ultimately make the decision if they want to commit to him long-term or not. So that's good. That's a good thing for this Bulls team. This has been a fun episode, Matt. Even though it's been frustrating to talk about the Hawks' loss, hopefully the Bulls tonight pick up a win on the road against Minnesota. We will be back on either late Monday or Tuesday with an episode breaking that down and everything else going on this week. Hit us up with your thoughts, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.